Long-distance runners experience something they call hitting the wall. And it doesn't mean they actually physically hit a wall. It just means there's some point during the race, near the end of the race, where they hit the proverbial wall. That is, all of their energy is sucked out of them. It takes everything in them just to lift one foot and put it in front of the other. And every part of their body and their mind says, quit. Stop running. Don't finish the race. Go off to the side. You can't go on any further. And every long-distance runner knows you have to push through that. And once you push through that, then you can make it to the finish line. It's that final push that is the difference between coming up short and actually finishing the race. This morning, it's time for us to have the final push in our capital campaign. Our next step in engaging all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. The ministry expansion that we have for the North property. It's time for us to have one final push. It may feel like we've hit the wall. We've been doing this for so long, we can't do it anymore. But then we'd come up short. So we're going to rally the troops. We're going to push forward. We're going to push through this. And we're going to accomplish the work that God has set in front of us to do. And helping that, we're going to look back at the book of Nehemiah. Back in September, I had a series of messages on Nehemiah comparing the rebuilding, the refortification around Jerusalem, that project with our ministry expansion. This morning, we finished that series up with the final message, and that is, finish the work and praise the Lord. Now, I know that not all of you were here back in September when I went through that series, and besides that, we could all use a bit of a refresher. So let's trace back those four messages and trace back the work of Nehemiah. Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is set in the time when most of Israel is in exile in Babylon. And there's just a few people, there's some Israelites that are still living in Jerusalem. Nehemiah himself is a high-ranking official of the king, so he serves the king. And he gets a visit from some of his relatives who announce to him that the walls around Jerusalem are in shambles, and that the gates are all burned down. Now, ancient Near East, this is your primary defense, is to have a wall, a fortification around the city. Without it, you're vulnerable to attacks from any one of your enemies. So that's the setup. Nehemiah gets it into his mind, we're going to refortify the city. We're going to rebuild the wall. So the first thing that we realize from the book of Nehemiah is this: it's a big step. This is a big step. Nehemiah is probably a couple months' travel away. That's how far away Jerusalem is. It's a huge undertaking to do that. And how in the world is he going to make it happen? Well, there's three things with a big step. The first thing is you have to have conviction. There has to be a deep-seated conviction that this is something that you're supposed to accomplish. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah certainly had to know that the walls around Jerusalem weren't fortified. It had been that way for probably 100 years. So something happened, something changed, and God's Holy Spirit worked on his heart and gave him a deep conviction that the city needed to be refortified, and not only that, he was the guy to do it. Deep-seated conviction. I have a deep-seated conviction about the ministry of risen Savior and ministry expansion that we have planned for the North property. In fact, before I even set foot on campus, so 5+ years ago, I started praying to God, and my fervent prayer was this: God, help me to lead the people at Risen Savior where you want them to go. That's so at least a weekly prayer, every Sunday morning. God, I want you to tell me so that I can lead the people where you want them to go. It is my deep-seated conviction that our next step in ministry is the expansion on the North property. Now, buildings are not ministry, but ministry happens in buildings. And ministers are sent out from buildings to have just the space to be able to do what we're called upon to do for God. And so I'm convinced and I have a conviction that for us to dig deeper into our community and to serve our current membership better is the ministry expansion on the North property. The leadership of this congregation shares that conviction. And if I have any sense of you all, you share that conviction as well. This is what God is calling us to do. So it starts with conviction, but then it goes to careful planning. Now, Nehemiah, He's got to approach the king and ask for the time off to go and rebuild the wall. Evidently, he doesn't have enough PTO stored up, so this is going to be a stretch for him, right? So he waits for the opportune time and how he's going to approach the king. He waits 2 months, right? Careful planning to propose this to the king. There's been years of careful planning into the ministry expansion. In fact, I can go all the way back to 2003. I found a letter from Pastor Hal making an offer on the north property, not including the TPC and that land. It was resoundingly rejected. Fast forward 10 years later, and all of a sudden, this congregation buys not just the north property, but also the TPC and that land for less than what was offered in 2003. God's opening up doors. God is moving. Ever since then, there's been careful planning. We're about 2.5 years in of careful planning. What is it that we need? What will it look like? How can we best serve our community? How can we best serve the members of Risen Savior? Lots of careful planning has gone into this. But after careful planning, you got to be bold. If it's a big step, it calls for boldness. For Nehemiah, it doesn't get much bolder than this. So Nehemiah, his position in the king's court is he's all supposed to be jovial, right? Always in a good mood. That was just a prerequisite of anyone who's in the king's court. Well, he's all sad. And he's downtrodden, right? That alone could have got him in trouble. But instead, the king has compassion and says, hey, Nehemiah, what's going on? What's happening with you? This opens up the door. He tells him that he's so concerned about Jerusalem, right? So King Artaxerxes says, well, what do you want to do about it? Now get this. Talk about bold. He says, well, King, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have the time off to travel to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. By the way, could you give me an army escort so that I'm not, you know, I'm protected along the way? And if it isn't too much trouble, could you give me all the supplies that I need to rebuild the wall? It doesn't get much bolder than that. I want the time off, I want military escort, and I want all the materials. And King Artaxerxes went, yeah, okay. Yeah, he said, yeah, okay, you got it. It's all yours, right? God had changed his heart, right? But if Nehemiah wouldn't have been so bold, he wouldn't have gotten any of that. Obviously, our big step, our next step is a bold move. But it is a bold move based upon conviction and careful planning. So what we're proposing is a big step. The next thing that we learn from Nehemiah is this. You have to face the facts, but be inspired by the past. Nehemiah shows up on the scene in Jerusalem, and he sees the walls are in a shambles. They're completely vulnerable to all of their enemies, right? And he meets with the leaders of the city. But the problem is the walls have been like that for so long that the leaders of the city are numb to it. This is their new normal, to be vulnerable like this, to not have fortification, right? And so Nehemiah has to shake them up a bit. And he says, look at the situation that we're in here. Right? They say, yeah, but what are we going to do about it? So he inspires them from the past. He reminds them of all that God has done, not least of which is what God did through King Artaxerxes by sending Nehemiah, by sending the escort, by sending all of the supplies. They look at that and they say, yeah, let's go. So we've had to face the facts, but then be inspired by the past, right? We have become used to the fact that we cram 4 worship services into a Sunday morning. That's just our norm. 4 worship services, just 20 minutes between them. When I tell my friends, they say, well, what's your Sunday schedule? And I say, well, we got 7:30, 8:50, 10:10, and 11:30. Their eyes get as big as saucers, and they said, how do you do that? How can you turn the parking around in 20 minutes? I said, we don't. We have chaos. Right, but we've gotten used to that. That's just our normal around here, right? We've got to look at that. We've got to look at the fact that this service alone, by this time of year, we're at about capacity, about 90%, judging by this. It's going to raise up to about 110%. When you walk into a room that's 80% full, if you've not been there before, you say, there's no room for me. It's packed. I don't have a spot in here. The 7:30 service is like that. The 8:50 is quickly approaching that. We're out of space. And certainly, I don't have to talk to you about the parking and the madhouse that's out there. So those are the facts, right? You say, but wow, that's a big step. Be inspired by the past. You cannot read the history of risen Savior and not be inspired. You cannot. From meager beginnings in Sun Lakes to moving over to the chapel and then the bold move of moving on to this land and building this facility to then moving out and buying the land and the TPC Center and then paying it off. Each time this congregation has stepped out boldly, God has blessed it immensely, immensely. Be inspired by the past. Now, the third thing that we learned was it's going to take full participation but equal sacrifice. Equal sacrifice, different gifts. This is what Nehemiah proposed to the people in Jerusalem. He says, it's going to take all of us. We're going to get this done. We've got to get it done quickly. We're going to rebuild the wall, which meant those that had the capacity, those that had the manpower and the resources, they did large sections of the wall. Others who didn't have the capacity, didn't have the resources, did little sections of the wall. But every section was important. If even the smallest section of the wall wasn't rebuilt, they're still vulnerable. Equal sacrifice, different gifts, but it would take everyone to accomplish it. This is a big step for us. There's no way that a small number of people can get it accomplished. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take full participation. All of us need to equally sacrifice. They're different gifts. We all have different capacities of what we're able to do, what we're able to give towards this. But of all of us, I guarantee you this, if we have full participation, there'll be more than enough funds to complete that, more than enough to get it done. But it takes all of us to do that, sacrificing equally, but being different amounts. The fourth thing that we learned from Nehemiah is this: expect opposition and then rally the troops. The wall gets about halfway up, and now all of a sudden the enemies of Jerusalem, they start stirring. They're not happy about this. So they start sort of putting their armies together, and they're sort of breathing out threats towards the city, right? The opposition is there, to the point where Nehemiah has to post guards around the city, and some of those who are working, they had a spear in one hand, and they're carrying supplies in the other. All right? I mean, that's how bad that it got. The opposition was there. But Nehemiah rallies the troops and says, look, one final push, guys. We got to get this done. We got to get it done quickly, and then we're going to be safe. We've seen opposition, right? The opposition, I think, comes mostly in distractions, competing priorities for our time, right? Opposition of coming up with 1,001 reasons of why we can't have a visit or we don't want to pledge, right? All that is there, right? The opposition is working at that because I guarantee the enemy doesn't want us expanding on another property. There's no way, right? He doesn't want us to see doing even more of what this congregation has already got. He doesn't want to see more people come to faith. He doesn't want to see any more baptisms. He doesn't want to see any more people's lives change because of what Jesus does for them. No, no, no. So he's going to do everything possible to thwart all of our efforts. So now is the time for us to close ranks, rally the troops, and have one final push. Let's push through this. Let's get across the finish line and do the work that God has given us to do. We finish the work and we praise the Lord. Finish the work, praise the Lord. That's what happened with Nehemiah. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. Right? Now, the verses that lead up to that, wow, did the opposition get rough. Opposition really rallied as they saw that the wall was being completed. It records for us that their first attempt was sending numerous letters to Nehemiah to lure him out of the city, to have a meeting, they said. Now they're going to kill him. And when that didn't work, then they sent him a letter saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to tell King Artaxerxes that you're rebelling against him and that you're going to declare yourself king and the whole wrath of Babylon is going to come down on you. And when that didn't work, then some trusted officials infiltrate inside and they try and coax Nehemiah into the temple so that they can kill him. The opposition gets pretty big. They want to take out the leader. Now, I don't mind telling you, looking at my own position in all of this, I could be concerned. But I'm not. because the people rallied behind him and they finished the work. And they got it done in 52 days. That's miraculous. Absolutely. In fact, the enemies recognize it as being a miracle of God. Listen to what it records for us. And when all of our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own self-esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Human beings couldn't do it. It was the hand of God upon them, working through them, using their resources, using their hands and their feet. But God, through his people, accomplished this miraculous event of fortifying his city so that they now could be safe. I believe the hand of God has been on risen Savior. I believe the hand of God is still on risen Savior. And I think that God is going to bless our efforts. It's time for the final push. It's time to finish the campaign. It's time for us to rally the troops. Opposition is going to rise up like never before. If you haven't had a visit yet, I guarantee you there'll be 101 reasons of why you can't schedule a visit. And then there'll be 200 reasons of why you can't pledge to this campaign. And they'll all seem rational and reasonable because the opposition doesn't want us to expand our ministry. We have to come together because it's going to take all of us. This is a big step for us. It's going to take all of us coming together and finishing the campaign so we can get upon the work so that we can build on the North Property. Now, buildings are not ministry, but ministry happens in buildings. And it's pretty rare that the thing that's holding you back is space, but that's what's holding us back to advance the kingdom of God. So it's time for us to give that final push and to finish the campaign. Because God has assembled all the right people and all the right resources right here. I don't hear names, but I hear stories. I hear stories about people who, one I heard was, just lost their job, they still pledged because they were so convicted. Another one was stretching themselves, believing that God was going to provide. And there's story after story after story of God's people coming together to get this done. It's time to finish the work, and then we get to praise the Lord. Give him all the credit, give him all the glory. That's what happened in Israel, right? Ezra the high priest, it says, he came out in front of the assembly of the people, and it said that he read from the law. That's the first five books of our Old Testament. Now get this, though. It says that he read from early morning to midday while they're all standing there. It's like 4 to 5 hours he's reading from the law, right? And then Nehemiah makes this decree. He says, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." They had a great celebration. They had days of feastings and banquets and giving glory to God and praising God for what had happened, right? Now, here's my insight, though, and I firmly believe that. Those who actually participated, those who actually helped rebuild the wall, put the things in place, their celebration was even sweeter. Their celebration was even sweeter because they were part of it. They played a role in that, depending on whatever their capacity was, small or large, didn't matter. They sacrificed to get it done, so when it was finished, they could say, "I was part of that." They could tell their children, "I was part of something that will bless generations to come." It was a historic event of rebuilding and refortifying the city, and they got to be a part of it. There's a coming celebration for us, a great celebration that awaits us. I firmly believe that we're going to do the ministry expansion on a North property. And when the day comes that we're ready to dedicate that building, we're all going to gather on the north property. Pastor Mark's going to read from the Old Testament for about 5 hours while we stand there. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Right? But we are going to give glory to God, and we're going to praise God because it'll be accomplished through God. We will be his hands and his feet, and we'll be using the resources that he gave us to do that work. And there'll be a great celebration for that. And here's the thing, is that there's going to be a special joy. And this is what I want for you. And I'm sincere. The most important thing about this message is that when the doors open, the ministry expands, that you can say, I was part of that. Ever how God has blessed you, equal sacrifice, different gifts, but to have the ability to say, I was part of that. That when children and adults are baptized, I was part of making that happen. When we reach into the community, I was part of making that happen. When people come to faith or rediscover their faith, I was part. God allowed me to be part of that. This is a rare opportunity. This does not come along very often for a congregation. It simply doesn't. We're talking a history-making event, a significant event in the history of our congregation. I would dare say as significant as when this church was built. Now the expansion on the north property, because it's a win-win. We keep the beautiful sanctuary. We continue to use everything over here. We now have an additional worship space, classrooms, all the rest that is in there, so we can expand the ministry. It's a history-making event. And you'll be able to say you were a part of it, that you had a hand in making it happen, that God used you and your resources, and to know that generations to come will be blessed because of what you do. That's what I want for you, because I'm convicted, I'm convinced God's calling us to expand our ministry. So this is the final push. Let's finish this out, and let's cross the finish line so we can get about engaging all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are privileged that you have called us here to this place, to this ministry, that you have your hand upon this ministry, and that you give us the privilege of being a part of that. I ask that you would work in our hearts, that you would give us courage, that you would give us boldness, that you would give us discernment, so that we could be about your work and the expansion of your kingdom. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with our offering.